Let me bang you.
I do let you bang.
Let me bang you, man.
I let you bang.
I let you bang.
Greetings, marriage and virgins.
Go for Jesus. No, for gay Jesus, people.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfucker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for your favorite mixed martial arts podcast. Recording out of Los Angeles, California, it's MMA Roasted with Adam Hunter.
Who the fuck is that guy?
Hey everybody, welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. Me, Adam Hunter. I'm here with Bill Dawes. Sorry, man, I'm a little late. My daughter fell down. She's been sick. Wife has COVID. She had 105 all week, 106, just like.
Your wife did?
Mm-hmm. So obviously she's home. I'm supposed to go on a cruise ship to work a cruise. Cancel that like an hour before. And then my daughter, I think had COVID last week, but tested negative. And I think gave her COVID because she's the same cough. And now her cough came back. So now I'm home taking care of my wife and my daughter, trying to like juggle all this. You know, and of course, like how Laugh Factory, I want to do Wednesday. So I'm literally like trying to put her to sleep so I could like run and drive from Woodland Hills to Hollywood, hoping that she falls asleep by 9. I'm like, what time do I have to go on stage? You know, because my kid's not sleeping yet. You know, it's like, this is like what I'm, anyway. How are you?
Good. So that was Katie's show last night because she texted me like, are you in town?
Yeah, I did Katie's show. It was great. It was actually like one of those. I haven't gone up because like the last show I did was Thursday. It was like Thursday night. I did the UFC show, and then Friday was my birthday. I was supposed to leave on a cruise on Saturday, and then that got canceled. So I was like, you know, and then I had to cancel everything because I had to be there for my wife. So I haven't been on stage in 5 days, which in comedy world is like 3 years.
Well, for you, that's insane because you're like the hardest working freaking comic in the business. Mm. But for me, that's fucking whatever. So the UFC show, how was it, man?
It was amazing. It really was amazing. You know, the first time I did the UFC show, they gave me a special, but it was on Fight Pass, but it was during COVID. So everyone had masks on, 50 people.
Yeah.
But there was only a lot of 50 people in the building, which 30 people, because they had to have people work there. And then it was like Mike Perry in the front with his pregnant girlfriend. And then Brandon Moreno and like people didn't speak English. And then a lot of his team didn't speak English. Some did, but not, you know, and then it was like it was like Cheryl from accounting. It ended up being great, but it was like, Jesus, like this is like all those like crazy road gigs. And then the second one, I was like, let's do it at a comedy club, you know? And then the third one was like, they doubled the comedy club. The LA comedy club now holds 300 people. And it was and it was one of those sets where I was like, felt like a TV set. It was like, joke. I couldn't believe it. I was like, holy shit. And this was I was the most nervous about this one.
Yeah.
So that was really, really cool. And then
why are you the most nervous about this one?
Because I had like 20 minutes of MMA jokes that I hadn't really tested. I did them a couple places, but I didn't really like, and I was worried I was going to like forget them or that, you know, something could be really funny to you and to like your friend, but not on stage. I mean, I've had tweets before that got like 3 people like it and then they kill. And then tweets that had like 10,000 people like it and they bomb. This is things something's supposed to be said out loud and some aren't. And
Twitter isn't the best litmus for deciding what's a funny joke.
And I was nervous I was gonna like forget the jokes because I also do a lot of crowd work. But when I go into the crowd, sometimes I forget where I left off. It's easy to do crowd work when like you know your stuff like by like the back, you can go right back. But when you don't really know your jokes that well. So but it was one of those things, it was just like I couldn't believe how well it went. And then I sat with each fighter. I sat with Andre Fili for like 3 sessions. I sat with Sarah McMahon for 3 sessions, sat with Frankie Edgar, got their material like to the point where like I knew it was gonna work, you know, and they all had great sets. And
who did the best of the other? I mean, you could say, come on.
Well, Gerald Harris murdered, but he's a real comic. He's been doing comedy for like 25 years, literally. So he did the best because he's been doing it forever. But Andre Fili probably shocked the most people because people didn't really know him. you know, he's not really like a very loud, but I knew him because I knew him. He's like a rapper. He's a rap group. And I just know the kind of person he is. And he, but they all took it real serious. Like none of them were like, I'll just go there and fuck around. Like they were scared.
Yeah.
Legit
yeah,
scared.
Of course. You know? Of course. They're probably more scared doing that than they were getting to a ring.
They said that. But then they also said like, Frankie's like, man, I woke up this morning and didn't worry about getting knocked out. So, but yeah, they like, they said like, you know, have me fight somebody, it's no problem. You know, have me heavy, you know. So yeah, they were like, but I also set him up really well. I told the crowd, this is their first time doing it, you know, and
yeah,
and the crowd was, and I also like stacked a crowd of all fighters, tattoo artists, porn stars, strippers. Like it was,
yeah,
everyone knew fighting. So, and that's the thing. It's like sometimes when I do MMA jokes, people that know what I'm talking about laugh hard. The people that don't, yeah, know, fuck, you know? So, It was a crowd that knew MMA really, really well. So they were super happy about it, man. I was like, I was on a high. I was on a legit high until the next day when my wife got sick and then she had 106. And then I was like, canceled the whole, and I was scared as shit for her because, and she didn't want to go. That's how fucked up healthcare is. She doesn't want to go to the doctor. I'm like, you have to go to the hospital. She's like, no, I can breathe okay. I'm just going to get sicker if I go there. And they're going to keep me here by myself. I'm like, you know.
Wait, were you literally worried for her like life because of COVID? Are people still getting that sick from COVID? I feel like COVID. I
mean, anytime someone has 105.5.
Yeah, that's true.
You worry about their life, you know?
But that was COVID? Because I thought COVID was always like a low fever.
No, not this COVID. And I know McCorkle's been, also got ridiculously sick recently. Like he wasn't here last week. I think there's like a, and then I tell, I think the strain's worse, man. Like I honestly think it's like, they're not saying what the new strain is, but people that I know are getting 106. Like it's insane.
Jesus Christ. Yeah.
And then my daughter, she's been making me laugh though. I was giving her a bath. You know, I give her baths and I have to play with all her toys in the bath with her. We have like a dance contest with Elmo and Abby and you know, blah, blah, blah. And then I was like, she's like, I'm the grandma. I go, I'm the grandma. She goes, you can't be the grandma. I go, why? She goes, she doesn't have a belly. I was laughing pretty hard. And then, so then we went to a little festival the other day and she's like, daddy, I have to go potty. So I had to go to a porta potty and she's like, it's coming out. It's trying to get out. That's what she says when her pee's coming. Right. So then I look and I see the seat is disgusting. There's no toilet paper. I'm like, I can't put her ass on this pissed seat. You know, I just,
yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, all right, I'll hold her. And I figured if you hold a kid and she goes pee, it'll just go down. Well, maybe she needs to do more Kegels or something, but you know, but like it literally fucking went right all over me. She peed like, I'm just like, oh no. So that all over underwear, all over me. So then I threw her underwear away. Daddy, why you throw my underwear away? I'm like, well, because daddy's silly, you know, like I was just, yeah. And then I'm trying to clean up the garage. We have all this shit in the garage. Like, we have all this stuff and I'm trying to make it like a workout room. Right. And we have,
yeah,
my dad, when he moved to New York, gave me a bunch of his stuff, which he claimed was worth $5,000-$6,000 of stuff and radios and this and that, a Dell computer, like all this stuff. Right. So now I'm like trying to sell it on like OfferUp, which by the way, everyone's like, oh, I'll take it. And they never show up to your house. Like they never show up. Yeah. And then I'm like, oh, how much for a 2009 Dell? $18, people are telling, like 50, like literally the Postmates I just got is worth more than the computer. Like like I can't even get ice cream for this fucking price. Like, are you kidding me? So then, and then my daughter's, we had like a box of her old toys, which of course she's going to want to, so she plays with them. I don't want to get rid of this. And then she's like, she sees a dinosaur. She goes, I don't like dinosaurs, but my friend Connor has one. So maybe I'll sell it to him. So now she's already into selling her fucking toys. It's just
yeah, I gotta come by there and see what I can pick up.
Are you in LA?
No, but I will be next week.
Dude, I got a crib, I have a kid's bed, I have so many toys. I'm offering people that have kids this stuff, you know, like Sam Tripoli, I went to his house and just dropped off stuff, like 3 garbage bags. But I'm not doing that again. Not with gas now. Now you have to come to me. I'm like, I'm not going to So yeah, and then my daughter's asking me every time questions. I'm like, oh, I got you some cheese. She's like, daddy, why do they call it cheese? Because I don't know. What's cheese made out of? Milk? like dairy? Like, I'm Googling things that like a 3-year-old
think like, Jesus, I should probably know what cheese is actually.
What? I probably should know that. Right. So yeah, it's just, and then of course, like, you know, did you watch Daniel Tiger with your kid yet? Daniel Tiger?
No.
It's like Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, but it's now it's like a tiger. It's a little tiger that like teaches lessons, and the kid's super cute, and he's always like, "I'm mad," and then they always have like a song about it, like it's. But meanwhile, I think whoever wrote this were parents, because all the songs are like, "When you want to play with your parents and they're too busy, do something else." Like literally, it's like songs like that, like "Leave your parents alone when they want to work." Like, greatest fucking, I'm telling you, Daniel Tiger is like the shit. And then my daughter the other day, she's like, "Daddy, why do you have to be a comedian?" I was like, "Because I didn't get enough love as a kid." Like, I'm just answering questions now with like different meetings. And then the other day she was like, you know, because what do you want to be your girl? She was like, a princess, right? I want to be a princess. So, but the other day she was like, "I don't want this dress." And I was like, "Stop being a princess." And I'm like, "Wait, this is what she wants to be." Like, I'm doing the exact opposite. So anyway, we have a great show today. We got Rufian Stotts, by the way, who is supposed to come on like 6 times already. He just won the Bellator championship. We have him. We have Mike the Marine Richmond, who's killing it in bare knuckle, killing it. He's murdering everybody. He beat Dakota Cocker, who was the champion. And then Brian Barbarana, who is fighting Robbie Lawler in July in the UFC. Brian Barbarana, another
UFC still?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's crazy. You hear what happened with Mark Munoz?
Oh yeah, no. I figured you'd have a take on this. So I don't know, but he was basically he's coaching wrestlers. He sanctioned boxing bouts between his wrestlers.
I don't think it was wrestlers. I think he was basically, I don't know if he's just the rest. I think he was like there, and two kids that weren't on the team came up to him and said, "Hey, can we box each other?" And they had boxing gloves somehow. So he said, "Yeah, right." But headgear or anything, and then I guess they were already in like a fight, which he didn't know about it. So they started punching each other, and he was sort of like laughing about how it was like entertaining, I guess. And of course the kid goes home and tells his dad or mom, complains to the school, and he gets fired. But I, you know, man, with all this fucking school shootings and this and that, and like, kids want to fucking fight each other with boxing gloves. I think I'm all for it. Like, I
for
think
sure.
It's probably the best way to handle it. You know, in a controlled environment, if you have a guy like Mark Munoz there, I could see why a parent would get pissed, but I don't think he should lose his job, especially him being a UFC fighter. I mean, they asked the right guy, you know?
Wait, but he was employed at the school as a wrestling coach?
Yeah. And it was a private school.
It was a private school, and he let these two entitled white rich kids fight each other, and one of them went home and told their daddy, and he got fired. Because
I'm sure it was a kid that lost. I'm pretty sure the kid that lost called his pet dad. He probably got embarrassed. How dare he let? And then all, but it's just the whole thing sucked. First of all, they got a guy who was a, you know, 3-time national champion. UFC was like top 5 in the world. I mean, he was a top guy.
Coach, I loved it.
You know, of course, like you can't get a better coach than him. And he's really into wrestling. You know, some people said, well, what if a kid would have died or fell the wrong way or this or that, you know?
But they were probably in a gym with, I mean, were there mats or was it just like?
I don't know exactly what happened. I know I'm trying to get him a job at the school that I coach at.
Like, yeah, have a bad history of getting wrestling coaches, huh?
Yeah. After Jay Moore, I honestly, I'm trying to get Mark Munoz as the new coach. I think that would be amazing. I think, that you know. Are you
kidding me?
Yeah, so, I mean, you see what happened with Gary Tonin in one?
No, what happened with that? I missed it. So I love
Gary. So Gary, yeah, I love Gary too. So Gary had a grappling match against this guy who in the jiu-jitsu world is like, they're saying him and his brother are like, they're like, you know, prodigies. And Gary lost.
Against Kai Rutolo, yeah. Rutolo, yeah.
How good is this guy?
But those guys are sick, yeah. But you know, Gary has kind of like fallen off as like as a jiu-jitsu guy. He's not really considered the top guy anymore. You know what I mean? He's great.
Here's where about striking. So okay, so I'm gonna play the match for you. But so I mean, obviously Gary would, you know, people get caught. He got caught with a darts, which I guess is like
that's pretty wild. Because I feel like at a certain level, first of all, at a certain level, you just feel like it's so rare to get something submitted.
So here you go. So, okay, so Gary's the guy in red, white, and blue. He's wrestling.
So is it kind of like combat jiu-jitsu with a little bit of like...
It seems like the guy just tried to kick him, right? Yeah, I guess it's crazy to see jiu-jitsu how high they get in their stance. Like wrestling would be so much lower.
Yeah.
You know, like they, I mean, it's just...
Known for their takedowns.
What was that?
The jiu-jitsu practitioners aren't really known for their takedowns, you know?
Yeah, I guess you're not really worried. If a guy gets a takedown on you, you could, you know, go for other ways. But was
Gary like a really decorated wrestler in high school and shit?
No.
Oh, he wasn't?
No, I don't think he wrestled. I think he wrestled a little bit. But he was just like wearing jiu-jitsu. So the guy gets a Muay Thai clinch, right? There we go. Which I guess is legal in jiu-jitsu.
I mean, this is like different sort of rules, I'm sure.
So how good is this guy that he's running against?
Oh, no, those guys are sick. They're up there with the best, man. There's like four or five names you hear about all the time, and those guys are always in the conversation.
So right here. So this is where he gets subbed. So I guess Gary thinks he's safe, right?
Of course. He works in guard all the time. Oh, right there. Right there. And Gary's like, oh, okay. Oh, he traps his leg. Classic. I can't believe he lost to a Darce. He's kicking himself right now, dude. I'm telling you.
You think he just thought he was too safe?
100%. 100%. He didn't think he was going to get that. I mean, a Darce is like, I will tell you this. Like, there's a guy I was training with. This black kid, he was a no-gi guy, and he came to our gi class. He had really long arms. I would never get caught, but he would get me in that fucking darce all the time. Even when I knew that was his one move, I couldn't stop it. It's, you know.
Gary thought he was like in a position where like, oh, he's not going to get me the darce.
Well, like, first of all, when he locked the darce on, Gary got to his knees, which is a proper defense, and he probably thought he could get out. But then Ty was able to buck him and to his side, and once he trapped his leg, and it was done. But but darce is like... it's a very sneaky move, man. And you got to be really high level to really put one on a high level guy.
Well, it's one of those things also. Gary's worried about fighting. It's hard to be the best in jiu-jitsu when you have to worry about kicks and punches and wrestling and everything else. So that's, you know, the other guy is just a jiu-jitsu guy, right? That's, I don't know, the other guy fights.
Yeah, just jiu-jitsu. And, you know, and Gary's protege is Gordon Ryan. So Gary kind of handed that baton over and became a fighter.
Yeah, I mean, but he was a pretty good sport about it. He was like laughing about it, kind of, and he was just like, you know, Gary's a very outspoken guy, and I think, you know, I think he'll be fine. But yeah, he probably is kicking himself. He doesn't like to lose. No one likes to lose, especially at that level.
Have you ever had him on your podcast? You got to have him on.
I've had him on. He was super cool, like, and he was
super smart, funny guy. Yeah,
I mean, the dude is just. He came to my comedy show too. So we have a guy right now who is the Bellator champion. Right here, the Bellator champion, and I had him on when he was like, no one knew who he was. People were like, who is this guy?
Nobody knew.
No, and then he got a little too big for me because I had him on a couple times. He like stood me up. He stopped getting back to me. But then now he's the champ again. Rufion, how are you, man?
Man, I'm doing good, man. How you doing, man? My bad. I got the time zones mixed up, I think.
It's okay. You're the champion. You're the champion in Bellator.
You know what I'm saying? I go where I want, when I want. You know what I'm saying? That's just how I operate now, you know?
No,
I don't apologize for being right no more.
Now, you're the guy. I mean, first of all, now I'm confused. Did you get the $1 million?
No, not yet. So I got to win. I'm still in the tournament. So I did the quarterfinals of the tournament. That was against Juan Archuleta. And then the next fight will be the semi against either Higo or Sabatello. And then I'll fight the final. So I got two more fights to win before the $1 million.
Got it. Now, you're supposed to fight Sergio Pettis.
I was supposed to fight Sergio Pettis in the first round of the – in the quarterfinal.
Now, that's your teammate. You guys are, like, brothers, best friends.
We brothers, man. Yeah, straight up, yeah.
How awkward was that?
It was like super. It felt icky, man. It didn't feel good, you know. I just didn't, you know, like having to even like think about fighting him or think about hurting him or think about, you know, taking his belt. You know, it just didn't feel good to me.
Now, do you beat him in the gym? Like, do you know that
you say what?
Do you beat him in practice?
You know, and I can't even say that I do. I say that because usually I'm a certain person for him, you know, and he's a certain person for me. Usually, like, we're like teammates. And so I'm never like, oh, I got to beat up Sergio because, you know what I mean? I just never been like that. Like, whoever you have fighting coming up, I'd emulate him. And then, you know, we go back and forth, you know. I feel like he gets the better of me in striking exchanges. I get the better of him in some grappling exchanges. So, and then also, I think a fight is a fight. So I can't really go off of, you know, what happens in a training, you know, session, you know.
Yeah, no. Now, your last fight was awesome. You won the belt. He took you down. How did that happen?
He took me down. He took me down. One time, he motherfucking got me, man.
You're a national champion. Two-time national champion.
No, he apparently he did a lot of work working with the Purdue wrestlers.
Yeah.
And I didn't expect him to want to wrestle. You know, so I was expecting him to, like, kind of flee from me. Because that's kind of how he fought the last couple opponents. He kind of like just been moving a lot and he has been wrestling a lot. So I didn't expect him to wrestle at all. So that I feel like it took me two rounds to like figure out like, hey, man, this game plan is to kind of to come at me and wrestle. So so that, yeah, that just kind of threw me off. Kind of I just had to adjust it at the beginning. And he got me down the first round. I got him down too, you know, yeah. But yeah, he did get me down.
I had a 1-1 going to the third. I thought it was
no. I had it too. I had him winning. I had him winning both rounds because not only the first round he got me down, but then I kind of like stifled his takedown. But then he was able to kind of like control the position. So then he started like positioning me the second round. Like he wasn't really doing damage, but he was like out positioning me. And I'll give him, you know, I'll give props what props are due. I feel like he won the first two rounds in my head. Well, during the fight, I was like, hey, he's up two rounds. I can't give him an inch these next three rounds.
Now, did your coach tell you to throw a kick?
I think he said something like cut him off with a kick or cut him off with their hook, kind of corral him. Because that's what we had kind of trained, you know, prior to the fight. Because we thought he was going to be trying to, like, take angles and then kind of almost running away. I felt like he was going to run away from me, run away from the wrestler. But that was opposite of what he did. So
Bill,
it was a beautiful
Bill, I mean, sorry. So he hit him with a head kick, right? And it was one of those, it was like delayed.
I threw a kick, but he slipped inside and it turned into a knee.
Oh, got it. But it was like a delayed like reaction. It was like.
Yeah, he hit and then his like legs like, he did the stanky legs for a little bit, and then he freaking and I'm like, oh shit, let me take his ass out, you know.
It was amazing for you. Now, then you, at the end you did a backflip. Now, if I'm your coach, I'm mad at you because number one, why do you have all that energy to do a backflip?
I mean, the fight wasn't over. I still had two rounds to go, you know. So I'm right. Like,
okay.
I still got energy. I prepared for a 5-round fight. The backflip, I mean, it was kind of like a half of a backflip. I almost landed on one, you know. It wasn't my best showing. That's my biggest regret, you know, that I didn't go out and execute on my backflip. My backflip was trash.
Yeah.
Trash.
It's okay. Well, the fight was good. The backflip was bad. Now,
yeah,
you were a 2-time D2 national champion. Now you're the Bellator champion. What felt better?
I gotta say the Bellator thing felt better. Just because of the money involved and like what it did for my family. I feel like the national championship, the first one felt more because it was like me, the first time, believing in myself and what I'm believing, like coming true kind of thing. So that was like, it was like wholesome or whatever, but it just, the gravity of what's like on at stake. I feel like the Bellator championship, it feels better because of the gravity of, you know, because, you know, I get to move on in this tournament. I'm a world champion now. You know, I got a chance to win $1 million. And that's like, you know, kind of really like priceless for my family. Not priceless, like it's $1 million for my family. You know what I mean? So it feels bigger.
You're one of the best in the world. I mean, I argue that you are the best in the world. I mean, you're killing it. You lost one fight. You're 19-1. The one fight you lost was the guy hit like a spinning back elbow crazy to get to Marab, who's also killing it. You could almost say that was an aberration or a fluke. He just got caught.
No, I mean, I won't say it was a fluke because he like meant to throw the shot. But, you know, if we run it back, it won't look that way. I know I needed that, you know, I needed that for my, like my mindset, like how I was approaching fights, and I'm kind of grateful for it. You know, if I could ever get it back, I'm gonna try to get it back. But, you know, I'm grateful that it happened because I wouldn't have been in the situation I'm in right now.
So Bill, what happened was this guy's undefeated. He's not looking for a fight. Dana White comes to see him. The whole town comes to see him. They're all chanting his name, his cousins, his family.
And so he wasn't undefeated at the time. At the time, he was 6-2, and I was 8-0. And I'm thinking, like, hey, this is just a guy they brought in. You know, it's their champion. But they're doing a show here. Dana White was texting me back and forth, like, saying, like, okay, we're going to do the show here. So I'm like, okay, they're just bringing a guy in. So I'm not like thinking about, you know, that like this guy is like fighting for his opportunity for the UFC too. You know what I mean? So I kind of overlooked him. I kind of overlooked the situation. I just thought like, okay, let me get this over with and get to my UFC contract, get my UFC career going, you know, and that was a mistake. That was something that I did not
The guy Merab, the guy who's like killing it.
But he's a beast. I mean, he's killing the UFC. Right?
He's ranked like top 5, top 10.
Yeah, the guy was like homeless from fucking Dagestan, living in like the streets of Brooklyn.
Aren't they all homeless in Dagestan?
So then, like,
yeah, he could be. Yeah.
Then Rufian, but
no,
then
he's Georgian. No, what is he?
Georgian.
Yeah, right. He's Georgian.
But then Rufian's a monster, man. He comes, he's like dusts himself off. He was depressed for a while. He told me he was depressed.
I was depressed. I cried. You know what I'm saying? I contemplated like, damn, is this for me? You know? Because I hate losing. I like hate losing with a fucking passion. And I was like, man, like I just lost. I fuck it. I'm done. You know? Is this shit worth it? But I picked myself up. My teammates and everybody and my wife and everybody kind of picked me up.
Well, look where you came from. You grew up in Houston. You're from Nigeria. Your mom's from Nigeria. You had two brothers.
Yeah, my dad is from Nigeria. Boy, your facts is fucked up, Adam.
Your dad's from Nigeria.
You act like you've been there from the beginning, but god damn, fucking am I?
All right, go on. Your dad's from Nigeria.
My dad is born in Nigeria. My mom was born in Houston. They got together, an illegitimate marriage and not illegitimate sexual encounter, and they had me. And so my dad, so I'm of Nigerian descent. My dad is like from Nigeria. And my mom, she's, I don't know what nationality she is, but she's from Houston, Texas.
But your dad wasn't around, right? Your dad wasn't around growing up?
Yeah, no, he was around. He was around. He was just like, him and my mom split up. So he was just like, he would like call and send me stuff and send me money and pay child support. Like he was an active father, but just from afar.
In Nigeria? He was in Nigeria at the time?
No, he was actually he came to U.S. to go to school, and then he had got a job, and his job was in Washington, D.C.
Well, after you won, he sent me an email saying that I was inheriting your money.
Okay, we'll get that in writing. We'll get you
Because my son is about to win $1 million, but all I have to do is email him. No, I'm kidding. All right, so, and then...
I'll send it to you.
Now, Bill, so he goes to... His mom passes away in high school, freaking Rafian, like, joins the wrestling team as a junior. Never wrestled before.
Yep.
Junior year.
Yeah.
Now, he's kid so good... He wins the junior college, he places in junior college nationals as a freshman, and then he goes out and wins Division II twice.
Yeah.
And then Usman, his mom, goes to Usman before she passed away. Take care of my kid. Take care of
his mom. So Usman's mom.
Oh, okay.
Usman mom. So I went to the same school Kamaru Usman went to.
Oh.
And Usman was like, pretty much his mom told him, like, hey, I know that because I was also on Team Texas with Usman was my coach for Team Texas. And so his mom was pretty much like, hey, make sure that Nigerian kid is okay that's going to your school or whatever. And so he came to me and was like, hey, man, just making sure you got food and you're taken care of, like you're good. Pretty much like my mom told me to tell you this, like, let me just tell you this, you know, like, are you good or whatever? And I'm like, yeah, I'm good because I'm Nigerian, of Nigerian descent. And she felt that she just wanted to like help me out and make sure I was okay. So while I was in Kearney, Nebraska wrestling Kamaru Usman, his mom, but through him, would try to take care of me.
What's up, people? Football might be over for the season, but basketball is in full steam for both pro and college hoops. From the latest odds, totals, player performance props, to where the next fired coach is going to land, Bet Online is the number one spot for all your sports betting needs. Now head over to their website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use promo code CLNS50 to get started. It's not just basketball. BetOnline is your source for hockey, boxing, and UFC odds, right to the Olympic coverage. And it's the best in the business, okay? From sports right down to your favorite Vegas casino games, BetOnline is your number one online wagering destination. BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports and play your favorite games. BetOnline, where the game starts.
That's all. And then Pat Millican sees him, and he's like, this guy's the future right
here. Jens Pulver.
He goes, this guy is
the future.
What? So Jens Pulver says, we got to get this guy fighting, right?
Yeah. I started coaching. Jens Pulver asked me to come and just help out with wrestling. At his he started a gym in Kearney, Nebraska, and then so he just asked me to pretty much help out the MMA team, and then eventually he got me to do jujitsu and boxing, and then it was like, hey man, you might as well fucking fight. You fucking done all this shit, you might as well fucking fight. So yeah. I ended up fighting, and me and Jens Pulver drove to Davenport, Iowa, to Pat Millican's gym. We ran out of gas one time, like, while we was driving because his car didn't have a meter. And we had to go to some ladies, freaking some farm lady.
I think he ran out of gas, too, right now.
Her kids on the way. So she's like, yeah, I can get you gas, but, hey, I'm going to go pick up my kids from daycare, and then we're going to get you gas. And then we went on to Iowa.
It sounds like the beginning of a porno. It sounds like a porno.
We could have done that. But I mean,
did you bang the chick?
Just a nice old lady. I need to find her because not for the porn.
Got it.
Usman, are you still close with Usman?
Yeah, I still text Usman. We're super cool. I texted him the other day, and I guess I didn't know his knees is fucked up like they are.
Damn.
And I was like, hey man, you gotta walk backwards going downstairs or some shit. And he was like, yeah, who told you that? I'm like, I just heard that shit. Ain't that crazy? And he was like, yeah, it's true. I'm like, fuck.
So last time I gotta talk to you because you told me that both Ben Askren and Woodley were gonna beat Jake Paul. You said, you know, these guys are two guys that you train with. These are your friends, your training partners. What happened there?
I think a lot of people underestimated Jake Paul. And I don't know, man. I mean, they caught them at the right time. I don't know, man. I don't fucking know. I'm still perplexed about the situation. I don't know. I still think they beat him, but fuck, I don't know. I'm still mad. You just brought the shit back up. God damn. Damn, I don't know.
Now, hey, I gotta also talk
to you. Interview over.
All right, now CM Punk. All right. CM Punk was a training partner of yours, right? And I got lots of respect for CM Punk. I think that it was, the UFC's fault. They shouldn't have let him fight. You know, it should be like, I understand that you put asses in seats, but you know what? You can't let Oprah have a fight. You know, Oprah, a lot of people want to see Oprah fight too. You can't just let Oprah.
Hey, come on. Don't be putting my boy down. Hey, you ain't going to be disrespecting my boys on this goddamn show. CM Punk put in a lot of work. He put in a lot of work. A lot more than your ass, Adam. I know that.
And I shouldn't be in the UFC either. I'm not. I should have to go through the fucking, the amateurism.
He's famous. He's famous. He got different rules.
If right.
Oprah that's wants to fight, I bet Oprah get a fight. I bet they get somebody for Oprah to fight.
Now, did you know? Did you think he was gonna win, CM Punk?
No, I honestly thought like he was. I thought he was gonna win. I mean, I was hoping. I don't know. It's hard. Like when you when you training with somebody, like you see all the work, and how like good he's got, how much he's improved or whatever. You're like, fuck, like. You know, like you can do anything. Yeah, you fucking hell yeah.
Yeah, but you see him sparring with people.
Like you see him from like not being able to throw anything, not being able to pass, or know where he's at in grappling, and then you see him, you know, pretty much be a proficient fighter. Like he's a proficient fighter, like starting out as a pro. You know, I'm thinking like, you know, he could like. And
there are guys people in wheelchairs that like can all of a sudden walk, and you're like, you can't be like, you're ready to play for the Raiders, right. You know what I'm saying?
If, like, if you go through that with them though, like if you go through, they can't walk to like, oh man, now they like halfway jogging, you know what I mean? You're like, fuck, you know, you can do this. I believe in you, motherfucker. I remember where you started, you know, and I see all the fucking work you put in to do this shit. Like you, hell yeah.
Yeah, but are you watching him?
It's 15 minutes. You see Holly Holm fucking lost a fight that she didn't really lose. Shit, fucking anybody can win a goddamn fight.
But no, first of all, that's a little bit different. She lost to a girl that was
No. You, like, you compare my boy to Oprah Winfrey. On his all of that.
But well, they both have roles. But I'm just saying. So, as far as CM Punk, do you see him sparring with like guys that are amateurs and losing, or guys that are like lower level pro fighters and losing?
Honor and speculation.
Where are you? Are you in a well? What's going on? Like, where are you driving?
No, I'm driving.
Where?
I'm driving back home from practice.
Oh, okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, you keep going in and out. All right. So what were you saying?
I was saying speculate, your honor, objection, speculation. you're speculating that he just gets beat up by amateurs. That's speculation. So the honor, what's your honor saying? Honor,
no, listen, Rufian, there was a fighter in your camp. I'm not gonna say who is, a high level guy. Right before CM Punk's fight, I texted him, how's he gonna do tomorrow? He writes me back, not good. So, like,
who the fuck is a snake in our camp?
So, I'm just saying, so it was, let's just say that he goes, not good. So, like, I mean, you all know.
I ain't seen it to that to where it's like, not good. Like, he ain't fucking fucking up everybody. But he ain't, you know what I'm saying, getting demauled, you know what I mean? Like, I understand it's a UFC fight or whatever.
Got it.
I don't know. I'm biased. It's hard, man.
No, I hear you, man. That's your friend. And I think if I was in the gym, I'd do the exact same thing and the money he was getting and yada, yada. But at the same time, like, you know, if you know someone can't swim and you're like, hey, go in the pool, you know, you have a great attitude.
But he can swim. He'll stay alive. That's what I'm saying. He'll stay alive.
He lasted the first fight. The first fight, he came out like he threw a fucking a gang punch.
Hammer fist. Time.
Hey, that's his first fight. That's his first fight ever, man. Nerds and fucking adrenaline. It hit everybody different, you know? Like, he could have came out and been a... So I've seen people in the gym that are kind of trash. They're kind of trash in the gym. But when the lights come on, they turn into a kind of a different fighter.
Why you gotta like talk about Mir? Why you talking about Mearshart like that? Listen, I happen to like
hey, that mother. Hey, Mearshart, go out and fucking dominate. Him over got the most submissions. I ain't talking about Mearshart. I'm actually talking about Emmanuel Sanchez. He's not trash, but he's not sense as he has in a fight. Like, I know, like, if Manny gets in a situation in a fight, he gonna come out on top. Like, if there's, like, oh, it's neck and neck or it's a close fight, Manny gonna come out on top because that's the type of fighter Manny is. Manny's, like, when the lights is on, when the fucking pressure's on, he ready to fucking.
But he's also had 50 fights, so that's the difference. It's like,
that's true, but we don't know. You don't know. You see, I'm optimistic. You know what I'm saying? You seeing the glasses half full. Seeing the glasses. Hey, man.
I'm seeing it half empty.
No, anything can fucking happen.
All right. You're right. Now, Biggie Mike Rose is a fireman now. He's a fireman now, right?
He's a fireman.
Can he go up the ladder? Fireman. Can he climb up the ladder? He's like not. He's 800 pounds. Like who's he, what is he saving? Donuts? I mean, what's
no, motherfucker. Hey, Biggie, go hold that Biggie down to that. Biggie probably going through some, you know what I'm saying? He ain't training as much, so he probably eating the same.
Yeah, eating the same.
So he got some, you know what I'm saying? He got a little more pounded on him, but it's probably better, actually, for a fireman, you know?
Why? Can people, he can lie down and people jump out of the thing onto him?
He can eat his way out of any situation, you know?
Like a trampoline, he lies down and people jump.
No, he'll block. He got more mass to block people with.
Oh, got it. That's true. Maybe you know what? He might just, you think maybe he'll show up and then think it's like a grill and just start like just start cooking food. All right, so all right, now
he'll smother all the fucking fires. He can smother the people.
Got it.
Biggie gonna fuck both of us up.
I fucking love that guy. I love Biggie Mike Rose. So, all right. So now, when's your next fight?
I think in around like September or October, depending on. So these guys fight June 24th, depending on if they got injuries and stuff. I'm guessing like September.
Now, was it cool having Rampage there and all of them?
It was cool having Rampage there. I seen him after, but I don't know if he deaf or what, because I like. After the knockout, I went and found his ass, and I was like, Rampage! Rampage! And everybody else is, like, looking at me, but Rampage is like, like, what happened? Did somebody just fight or something? And I'm like, Rampage! 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 Hey! And he's like, so I don't know.
Did 50 Cent reach out to you? Did 50 Cent reach out to you?
Said what?
50 Cent? 50 Cent?
They sent me a bottle. They sent me not a bottle. A fucking. They sent me like those the big Leche bottles, whatever it's called. That was cool. Him and Scott Coker sent they sent it to a hotel. So
now Scott Coker, I gotta say, I like Scott Coker, but I disagree with his assessment of the MVP Logan Storley fight. I don't know if you watch his fight, Bill. So MVP is the greatest striker. Alive, dude's like a 25th Dan black belt. His dad is, his mom is, his grandpa. The guy, he knocks everyone out in karate. He fought a guy. Yeah. He fought a guy that was a 6-time state champion in high school. 6-time, 4-time All American. Yeah. And a guy goes to England and just literally takes him down every round, holds him. But won the fight, in my opinion. And people were like, Ariel Helwani thought that MVP won. I could sort of maybe see where you could argue that he won, maybe. But I thought Logan won the fight. And Coker is like, that's not what I want this to be about. This is about mixed martial arts and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, what?
No, Logan definitely won the fight. I think probably Coker is just thinking like on a promoting, you know, level or view. Because, Logan Storley definitely won that fight. You know, he controlled the fight with his wrestling. He discipled everything that, MVP could do. So, I think that was just like, damn, how I'm going to promote this motherfucker? Shit, yeah. And fucking MVP is a big draw for, I guess, Bellator, you know?
Well, of course. What are you saying, Bill?
Well, I'm like, when are you going to be on the Adam Hunter UFC Comedy Jam?
He's not in the UFC, though. He's not in the UFC. It has to be the Bellator
comedy. I'm not in the UFC, man. I don't get the perks.
You got to do both.
Now, what did you think of what's-his-name's fight? I thought he won, too, which I thought that Anthony McKee Jr. I thought AJ won that fight.
I thought – no, you know what? I thought he won that first But then I went back and watched it again. I watched it the first time, but I missed the first two rounds or the first round or something. But I went back and watched it again and then looked at the whole of the fight, and I was like, it's understandable where Patricio won. Like, I understand. Like, some of the things is like, yeah, you think the other dude should win, but it's like, I can see where they judge for Patricio. And I felt like it was justified in my eyes. I can see where.
Well, when he came out with OT Genesis, the rapper, the guy who sings "I'm in love with the Coco," I think that pissed off the judges. I think the judges were like, "Fuck this guy." They were like racist or something.
Like, we can't let this dude win. He's bad for MMA.
He was also mean mugging a lot and talking shit and smiling and doing a lot of that, which I think that also annoys the judges. Like, I honestly think that Bobby.
It could be. It's like public, or it's like a person's bias, you know, like maybe they don't like. I know I got a teammate that I feel like it's a judge in Texas that don't like him, and every time he gets a bad decision, that judge is on the panel, and it could be like that, you know, like shit.
I think Bobby Green.
It could be all types of shit.
Bobby Green, I think, would win almost half the fights he lost because he was cursing and saying all this stuff, and I think people were like, "This is not good for the sport," and they don't want to hear that, and who knows what he's saying.
Yeah.
They don't like
the antics. So that, like, I mean, shit, me as a person, like, it's certain people that I don't like. So I would imagine it's probably hard to, or they try not to, you know what I mean? Buy into the biases and look at that stuff. But it's hard. Like, it's some people I'm like, man, I just don't like you, you know? Like, I try to be objective about shit, but I'm like, fuck, I don't like you, you know? It could be the case.
Now, Duke Rufus, right? You saw Duke Rufus, right?
Yeah.
Are there any?
Yep.
How come there's not many women at that gym? Or like, they come, they go. It was that one girl that left for Team Alpha, right? The girl that's left for Team Alpha.
Yeah, we had Macy there for a while. We had Laura Sanchez. It's not a lot of girls there, so it's not a lot of
Is it because of Milwaukee?
Like, girls don't stay because it's like, shit. That could be it. That's why I left.
Yeah,
I'm a girl sometimes, you know. When it comes to the call, I'm a bitch. When it comes to the call, yeah,
dude,
I
went to high school in Maine, and there were not many black people in Maine. Like, there was
like, black people turn brittle. You know how chocolate break up in fucking, or when it gets cold, when it's frozen. Yeah, that's what happened to my fingers. I feel like my fingers are like. Like,
yeah,
big,
yeah,
fingers when it comes to the cold. Like, yeah, exactly. It was a grind, a literal grind when I was in Milwaukee. I was in the Midwest for fucking 8 years, man. And every single one of them motherfucking years, I was like, I'm gone from this motherfucker next year, you know?
But it was the coaching, it was the job.
The coaching and the job and the fucking, money. Kept me.
Now, when Ben Askren fought Masvidal, right, the first time, did he do his camp out of his house?
I feel like he didn't do the camp out of his house, but I don't know. I shouldn't speak to it because I don't know what his training was like before he got to his UFC stint, but it seemed like he did. He did more convenient training, you know, or that's what it seemed like. Like, I would coach at his academy, and he would do like his strength and conditioning workouts with himself. Like, he would do them, but he would do like circuits on his own kind of thing, you know? So it's like, he would do more convenient things. I feel like, you know, he was also what, 38?
Yeah, somebody in like your camp said that. They said, I forgot who it was. I was like, yeah, he doesn't train with us. He doesn't show up to practice. He doesn't show up to the thing.
Yeah, he had the luxury, you know. He had his Ben Askren Academy, so he would train, convenient, you know, and he could, like, he would still get the training done, but it's not like it's not the same as
of course,
you know,
not
having to, like, well, yeah, having other people hold you accountable. He didn't really have. He held himself accountable, which he's like, he got a really high workload, and he works really hard. But it's different having other people hold you accountable. They're going to make you do more than you can do yourself.
Well, listen, you're the Bellator champion. We got Brian Barberena with us. You know who Brian Barberena is?
Yeah, I know Brian. He's a beast.
Are you guys friends or no?
No, I don't know. I said, like, I'm on first name basis with the motherfucker. I don't know the motherfucker at all.
Well, listen, thank you so much, Rufian Stotts. You're amazing. And I can't wait to get to your next fight.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
All right, man. Brian Barberena, who is fighting July 4th weekend, the International Fight Week, against Robbie Lawler. Right? Is this correct?
This is correct. Nice. This is 100% correct.
Nice. This is going to be a great fight, man. That guy's a legend. You look great against Nick Diaz. You're a legend. You know, it's funny, man. Like, you came to my show and stuff, and I've been watching you forever. And I forget you're only 33 because you look 60.
Yeah. sometimes I feel 60 or actually older than that, probably like 80.
But yeah, because you've been in so many wars and so many fights, people forget how young you are. Like, you're in your peak right now.
Oh yeah, man. I feel like I'm getting better and better. You know, I've had some ups and downs with injuries, but like I said, I feel like I'm hitting a stride now and really getting going.
Well, you're a monster. You've got fight of the night four times.
That's crazy.
Four bonuses. Even when you lose, like the Luque fight, you got the bonus. And a lot of times you win. And you got power, man. I remember you fought Jake Ellenberger, who's a good friend of mine. You beat both Ellenberger brothers, Joe and Jake. Yeah. What do you have against the Ellenbergers?
Nothing, man. You know, actually, they're really good dudes. They're really, really nice. You know, when I came around to fought Joe for the debut and Jake later on, and you know, it was nothing, no bad blood. I think they were, you know, media was pushing for some bad blood to be in there, but you know, it was just all good, just business.
I also read that you're only a blue belt.
That's correct.
Like, how are you in the UFC with like 30 wins or whatever, and you're a blue belt?
I'm probably legit, you know, not a blue belt, but I do a lot of gi and everything, so I don't get belted or anything. So the one time I did do for a little bit, I did some gi and everything and got my blue belt. So yeah, but watch out. This blue belt will come get you.
That, right? There's probably an advantage. People are like, oh, he's only a blue belt in jiu-jitsu, but you know you're basically a black belt.
Yeah, come get it. Come test it out. I'm okay.
No, I was reading about you last night, man. First of all, I didn't know that you were half Colombian.
Yeah.
You don't look half Colombian. Are people shocked?
What, the I look Colombian?
Well, I just don't think he looks like he came from the Capitol rally. Like, I just don't think
dang.
I just don't think Colombian. So your dad was from Colombia.
Yeah.
Was he like,
what do you mean?
Was he like, really hard on you?
Was he hard on me?
Yeah. Cause was it tough for him? Did he grow up in like kind of a poor environment?
Yeah. He grew up in a poor, you know, growing up poor. And, you know, when he came to the US and everything too, like, that's why I don't really speak Spanish, is because, you know, my dad had a hard time when he came, and he didn't want us to have a hard time. Like, you know, he got in a lot of fights, got in a lot of trouble. People always, you know, messing with him because he spoke Spanish and everything like that. So he grew up in a time where, you know, it wasn't really a great thing to speak Spanish. You know, now people are multi-languages and, you know, speak it all the time. But back then, you know, it was a problem for him. So we spoke a little bit when we were younger. And then as when my grandparents lived with us and as they went back to Colombia, he just kind of let it fade away. And so it's a bummer because I wish, you know, I did speak Spanish, and I've been saying this for a while, but I do need to work on it.
Now, you're doing great, man. You're doing great the way it is. You got a hot wife with three kids.
Absolutely.
You're doing great. And then in high school, you were a linebacker, right? You were like an all state.
Yeah. All state linebacker, all region, defense player. Yeah. Had college offers to go play ball and decided to pursue MMA instead.
Were you a wrestler in high school?
I was not. I did 1 week. 1 week of wrestling. Yeah. So the coach bothered me every year. Every single year he bothered me. And then I was like, I'll give you 1 week. And then if I don't like it, you got to leave me alone.
So how do you go from no martial arts background to being one of the top guys in the UFC?
I don't know. Determination, heart. You know, I just, I, always, I got picked on a lot when I was younger because I was a heavy set kid. So I got in a lot of fights defending myself. And,
yeah,
you know, so either you wanted to box
or a school shooter. Those are the options where you get bullied.
Jeez Louise.
I get that. Thanks for keeping this light and fun, Bill. But when did you walk into your first MMA gym?
When I was 19.
19 years old, yeah. And you learned jiu-jitsu, yeah. Or was everything?
No. So I was looking for a gym, and there wasn't anything, and I ended up moving to Minnesota, and there was nothing within, like, 6 hours of me, and then I happened to find some local fighters who were training out of their garage, and it was called the Stomp Factory. And so I went in and started training with them. They were a bunch of just hard-nosed wrestling guys. Kyle Jensen was the head coach at that time. Reese Hernandez, Keith Sogla, some just local guys in Minnesota. And we just would grind it out, you know, work wrestling, stand up, jiu-jitsu, whatever. And I took a fight 6 months later, had my first amateur fight, my first and only amateur fight, went amateur and then went pro after that.
But you didn't know anything. 19 years old, you're in this garage with pro fighters who are probably D1 wrestlers or high school wrestlers or boxers, yeah, or jiu-jitsu. And you don't even know how to sprawl. I mean, you don't know how to take a double leg or a single leg or anything.
I guess I knew like the basics kind of just because of, you know, I found the UFC my junior year of high school and was like watching all the time. I have two younger brothers who are a year younger than me. They're twins. And so we all fell in love with it. And we're just like, practice on our own. We made an underground fight club at school and would get kids, ordered some gloves online, and just started matching people up and, doing whatever training we could find on TV and mimicking stuff and just working through it. And so we actually all fought, all three of us. And so, yeah, I just went in there, you know, basic, you know, watching people like Chuck Liddell go in there and sprawl and brawl. And so that was kind of my mindset.
When you wanted to go fight and not go to college for football, were your parents like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Yep. They were. They're like, what are you doing? They're going to pay for your college. You're going to go play football. And like, why would you throw it away? And I was just like, you know, I don't want to do it anymore. I'm not in love with it anymore. And I want to pursue this. And they were just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. But
by the way, you almost ruined my marriage, by the way, just so you know.
I did?
Yes, because when you were fighting Colby Covington, I knew you, I knew Colby. I was watching the fight on my phone instead of buying wedding rings. So we're looking for engagement rings, and I'm watching your fight because it was a good fight. And then to this day, she's still like, you weren't even paying attention while I was like, Brian Barberena was fighting Colby Covington. And I do a whole joke about it, how like marriage could be temporary, loss to stay on your record, you know? And
I appreciate the love, man. I mean, that's a huge commitment to be able to just, you know, commit to watching me instead of, you know, focusing on your wife in the ring.
Oh yeah, 100%. It was gold rings. Now your fights, now your last, second to last fight, you had an internal laparotomy, which is internal bleeding. What is that? And how did that happen?
So I ruptured two arteries in my abdomen, and it happened. I was supposed to fight Daniel Rodriguez on short notice, and I was doing my final preparations the Friday before I'd head to fight week. And, took a body kick and, you know, didn't think anything of it. Continued through my rounds, did all three rounds, hung out, talked with the guys afterwards, was heading home. And my stomach was kind of hurting. And I was like, well, I didn't have a great breakfast. You know, maybe I'm that hungry or whatever. So I stopped, got some food, and then was on my way. I was talking to my wife and started getting tingling from head to toe, sweating like crazy. And then my vision went out while I was driving. And so I was like, she's like, you need to pull over. And so I just swerved over. Thankfully, there was no cars there. And I felt my tires dip on the side of the road and just threw on my brakes. And then she hung up to call an ambulance or the car, whatever. And then my vision came back and I called an ambulance and they came and picked me up and took me to the hospital in Asheville. And they did ultrasound on my stomach. I was full of blood and rushed me into emergency surgery.
So you were probably very close to dying in that situation. You're bleeding internally. You didn't know it, right?
And now absolutely. They said,
And now you're still fighting.
Yeah, that's a 2 minutes. 2 minutes, and I was a goner for 100%. Like two more minutes, and I was dead.
That's crazy. Yeah. And you remember the shot that hit your? You remember the shot to the gut that made that happen?
I do. Yeah. Oh, wow. At least I think that's the one, but yeah, I'm pretty sure it was like the only real kick that I took to the stomach. But yeah, I don't know. I was in fight mode like already because I was preparing to, you know, leave next week and fight. So when I got in the ambulance, they're like, "Hey, we're going to give you an IV." And I was like, "No." And they're like, "What?" And I was like, "No, you can't give me an IV. I fight next week. You know, SADA doesn't allow IVs. You can't get IVs anymore. I can't let you do an IV." And they're like, "Well, you know, what if it's serious?" I was like, "Well, let's go to the doc. Take me in first. I'll get checked out. And if I need an IV, then, you know, the fight's going to be over anyway. But I plan on fighting next week." And they're like, "Well, can we get it started? And so that way they can just hook up if you need an IV." And I was like, "Yeah, you can do that. You're not going to put anything in me, just the needle." And they're like, "Yeah." And I was like, "Okay." So they did that. So I didn't even have an IV in me on the ride or anything. So they didn't really take me seriously.
Well, the only way to, you know, recover that is to fight Matt Brown in 2 months. Which is what you did. You beat Matt Brown, which was an amazing fight. Another great fight. I love Matt Brown too. You guys are both like cut from the same cloth, I think. Of just like,
I agree.
Tough, good guys. Guys that would like help you move your car if your car broke down. Good people. Now you have your own farm, the Barbarena Farms. How many animals do you have? How do you know how to run a farm? Like you grew up in California and Minnesota. How do you know in Arizona? There were no farms.
Arizona?
But now he's from Tennessee. He has his own. What are these farms? Talk to me about this farm.
Yeah. So, you know, I grew up in the city my whole life. I don't grew up around livestock at all or farms. And so it's just something my grandpa used to tell me about a farm that he had in Columbia and never got to see it, never seen it. And so just stories. And I think that's what really bring it to life as I'm older now. It's something that sunk in. And yeah, I was training at the MMA lab, you know, out there on winning fights and everything, training with great people, great family guys, you know, guys who helped raise my kids with me. And, you know, decided I want to start a farm and talk my wife into it too. And she was all about it. And it's something we wanted to do for our kids too, to grow up on it. So we're like, we need to do it now. We can't wait till they grow up. They're not going to want to go, you know, they're going to be in school, have all these friends, everything. So we got up, moved to Tennessee, bought some property and started a farm, man.
How do you know how to do this? Like, do you YouTube? How do I run a farm?
YouTube, a lot of research, reading, you know, pretty much that's about it. Just as much research as we can about the animals we wanted. How to do things we didn't know how to do. And luckily the property we bought, well, I had a house on it and it was just bare land. And so, we had to do all the fenced in pastures, everything like that. And luckily for my neighbor, it was a huge help and helped teach us how to, you know, put the fence up and how to correctly do the corners and, let us use this tractor till we got a tractor and teach me how to use the equipment. And, you know, he just has cattle. We have multiple different kinds of animals. So
what do you have?
What do you mostly have? Mostly chickens or what?
Pigs? We have cattle. We have black Angus for meat. We have chickens for eggs and meat. We have goats, Nigerian dwarf goats, which we use for milking. And my kids are going to show them for 4-H. And then we just got Cooney pigs that we will raise for meat.
That's amazing. Now your kids love them. Now, do you eat the pig sometimes, like for bacon and stuff? Do the kids get like, "Oh, I love this pig," and all of a sudden it's gone?
So we just started with the pigs, but that's happened with cows. And we, when we first got started, we did bottle feeding cows for the kids and to experience it and be brand new and everything. We ended up having to sell those cows because my kids were way too attached and we couldn't butcher them. So we decided, like, if we're going to butcher a cow, we don't name it. We don't, you know, pretty much we tell them like, "Hey, this is the process. We're not going to don't get close to this one. Like, this is a bad cow right here. You don't want to mess with that cow." Yeah.
Now your wife looks like she's like from Las Vegas. She's got the huge boobs, pretty girl. Like, how do you convince her to move to a farm?
Oh, my wife, you know, she's, you know, she's amazing. She is, man, I wouldn't be fighting. I wouldn't be where I'm at if it wasn't for her. I definitely wouldn't be in the UFC if it wasn't for her. I 100% believe that. And the farm, man, she holds it down while I'm in camp, her and the kids, you know, they're out there, they're running the farm, taking care of all the animals, does it all. She's amazing.
Oh, I didn't mean to insult her by saying she looks hot. I don't want you to.
No.
Okay.
I mean, she is hot. So yeah, I'm extremely lucky. I don't know how I even landed her, but I did, thank God. And
how did you meet her? At the gym? At the gym, right?
No, I met her in high school.
Oh, okay. Oh. Got it.
Yeah. We were my senior year. We've been engaged since my senior year of high school. We got engaged.
She's the first girl you ever slept with?
No.
Oh.
But you know, she's the last one I wanted to ever sleep with. That's for sure.
That, I like that. Now, how do you find training partners where you live? Do you just go up to random farmers and teach them how to wrestle?
Yeah, guys, come on the farm. We're gonna flip some bales and freaking scrap it out.
I mean, you went from the lab, which had like Ben Henderson and like the greatest guys in the world. Like, who are you training with?
Yeah, so right now I'm at Jimmo, you know, in North Carolina. I train under Jeff Jimmo. He's, you know, I've known Jeff for a long time. He used to come to the lab and train out there. And, you know, he cornered Scott Holtzman a lot. I'm sure you knew who Scott is. So that's actually how I met Jeff. And then when I moved out here, I had the intention of coming to train with him. So, it just worked out where, you know, I was training at a gym called Shield Systems in Knoxville, which Ben Harrison's the coach there and he's awesome. But the lack of bodies and stuff like that was not there. So I came to Jeff at Jimmo. It's been amazing, dude. He is an amazing coach. And, I don't think a lot of people know about it or know about this gym, but he's doing amazing things here. And man, he's helped save my career, from the injuries that I've had and me being able to fight again. Like I wouldn't been able to fight again for sure. If he wasn't part of it and the gym wasn't part of it, because like he has moved my training around, created my training for me day by day, just so I can, you know, continue to fight.
Your fights are amazing. I mean, you're pretty much, it's almost like a Rocky in some way. You're in every fight. And sometimes it's just like, wait to the third when he comes back. Like you're never out of a fight. But if I was your coach, do they ever try to tell you like, let's try not to make this into like a fucking slobber knocker dog fight? Do they ever try to tell you, or are they just like, fuck it, do whatever you want?
They do tell me that. They're like, how about this fight? We just, you know, we get the performance instead of the fight of the night. You know, you're allowed to beat them in the first round or before or whatever. You know, you're allowed to do that. So I give you permission to do that now. Let's just go ahead and get the performance bonus. And then I'm like, yeah, hell yeah. And then it just turns out to be fucking all out war.
Did you think Colby was going to be as good as he was when you fought him?
I thought he'd wrestle really hard. He was good. He didn't try to strike as much with me when we fought. You know, he's definitely striking a lot more this, you know, nowadays, but he's good. I knew he'd be good. You know, I know he'd bring it, especially on the wrestling side. And, you know, I was good. Happy that I was able to pop up. I didn't think he held me down very long at all. I mean, he got a lot of takedowns, but I was able to pop up after every one. So, but yeah, I mean, I thought he was going to be good and he continues to get better.
What about Leon Edwards? Did you think he was going to be special?
I thought Leon Edwards, I need to roll down these windows. It's hot as heck in here.
Yeah.
But I thought Leon Edwards, I thought that was going to be a striking war. All I heard was Leon's the UK's kickboxing guy and all this stuff. And then I went over there and, you know, put him on squirrely legs, dropped him, and he's wrestling the whole time. So, I mean, it's not that I don't know how to wrestle, and I've gotten better and better at my wrestling, and I can wrestle in fights. I just choose not to. You know, I believe I can wrestle and take people down 100%. I know I can do that, but I just choose not to.
Are you going to go back to the lab for the Robbie Lawler fight?
No, I'm here at Jimmo. This is my gym now. This is my 100% my gym. I get to, you know, as I still have to travel and be away from my family, but that's, you know, the biggest thing was I tried one camp going back, traveling back to the lab, and, you know, I did half camp at Jimmo, half camp at the lab for my very first one when we moved out. And it's too much being gone, man. It's way too much on me, way too much on my family, being that far away. At least here, I can come here and then I can go home and be with them. So That's really the biggest thing. And the goal is to get them out here.
By the way, Bill, the lab was great because they invited me over to watch like pro you know, training one day. I go over there and like Ben Henderson is doing like 100 rounds and he's holding people down while telling his wife what like food to pick up. Like literally like, hey, make sure you get the kids to three against like whatever. Then you got like Dracar Close, who's like the head case slash he's leaving the gym. He's in the gym. He's about. Then you had O'Malley in the corner who's doing exactly what he does in his fights. Like hands down, chin up, fucking capoeira YouTube moves, but it's like working. And then you had Mitch Clark, who was like this nerdy guy who looks like your accountant who was there. Fucking David Michaud from like Native American guy who like is the best, but he's like scared to fly, who's like the greatest guy in the world. He's in there. Lauren Murphy, who's also a head case, but like the sweetest chick ever, ex-heroin addict turned fighter and her boyfriend. I mean, the fucking characters in this gym, Johnny Case, who has a big tattoo that says Case in the back also. And then you had the craziest guy was this guy, Rob Emerson, who learned how to, who was in jail. And when he left jail, had his first fight against Jens Pulver. Like he was the WEC champion. And he's like a huge conspiracy nut. This fucking guy is like, him and Uncle Creepy got into it because he banged his ex. So like this, that whole gym was like,
holy cow.
It was crazy. It was insane.
You gotta write the sitcom, Adam. You gotta write the pilot, man.
All great people.
All great people. The best people, but characters. All great
people. The best people.
But characters, man. Yeah. And then you got Barbaranda there who's like trying to plant his farm, even though he never was a farmer. It was just, it was awesome. It was an awesome gym.
Do your kids want to fight or do they want to join you in your camp? I mean, are some of them old enough to at least
tackle? Like three. The 3 and 5 and 7 or something, right?
Maybe 7.
I have a 13, 11, oh. 8.
Oh, they yeah. Were 3, 5, and 7.
Are any of them interesting in like being along with you?
No, like they kind of do their own thing. Like occasionally they'll, you know, they're always roughhousing and my boys are always fighting each other and occasionally, you know, they'll say they want to fight. And then, like my son, there's some kids here at Jimmo that, you know, go to events and fight and stuff like that. I'll watch and my son will watch and he'll be like, sign me up, Dad, sign me up. I'm like, you're not even training. I can win. I know it. I can beat those kids. And I'm like, no, you're not, you know, you train or whatever. If you want to train and, you know, we can look at it or whatever, but honestly, I'd prefer them do something else, you know, find whatever they're in love with, not just because, you know, I love fighting. I want them to find, you know, their passion and what they're in love with. And, you know, I'll do everything I can to help them pursue that.
Yeah. Well, by the way, your last post was probably like the cutest thing I've ever seen, Brian. Hold on. It was like a baby rooster.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's awesome.
Did they just come to your thing or like, was that on purpose or?
No, we made, so we hatched eggs off our chickens and, you know, raised up these chickens that we're going to use for, yep, more eggs. So, that one is a fibro, which means it's all like black and gray pigment, the skin, the bones, everything is all black. And you get that when the genetics, you know, of the rooster and the mom have that certain genetic that crosses. So you don't always get that. So it's kind of a rare, more genetic that happens. And so we've hatched like 10 of them and only there's two of them that are like that. And it's pretty cool.
How are you a fighter, dude? What is like,
look at that fish, baby. Yeah. Look at that thing. It's a hog.
You're such a man's man, dude. Like, holy, I feel like you were born in the wrong. You should have been born like in like the,
yeah, you're like a Viking.
Yeah, I was definitely born in the wrong era, that's for sure.
It's unbelievable. But yeah, I mean, but you're killing it. But like, yeah, so I'll show you, by the way. I'll show you his wife, by the way. So, so like, yeah, she's like.
Yeah, tattooed. Beautiful.
Yeah, good work, man. Dude, you're an inspiration to everybody who's out of shape. You're the man, dude. Brian, it was awesome meeting you in Arizona when you came to the show. You were super nice, man. How far are you from Chattanooga?
So I'm about 30, 40 minutes from Chattanooga. Yeah.
Okay. I'm always in Chattanooga.
Are you? Yeah. Hey, I'll have to go out there and catch the show.
Why don't you go to Tom's gym, Galicio?
I don't know who that is.
You know, Toothless Tom, he was a guy that he was at the UFC, Ultimate Fighter. He has a missing tooth. He beat a bunch of guys, and then his ground game's amazing. He basically started his own gym out there with like no. He just went out there and found a space. He didn't even have
in Chattanooga?
Yeah, he didn't even have a machine to take money. He's like, if I build it, they'll come. And then I actually taught he trained under Hendo, nicest guy in the world. And I actually taught a wrestling seminar over there. And it was like for the average Joes. I feel like it was the average Joes. It was like one guy had a tattoo on his face, never did any kind of grappling. Another guy was like 400 pounds. But he started a gym over in Chattanooga. And he's always looking for people. So you should teach us a seminar over there or something. I should hook you guys up.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, definitely. I'd love to meet him and everything.
Oh, you'd love him.
I mean, he can come out to the gym out, check it out too. And I'll go over there, check it out, bring some guys up too.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Great. That'd be great. Well, listen, thank you, Brian. You're the best. Enjoy your weekend and take care, my friend.
Yeah, dude. Thanks again for having me on. Great talking with you.
Anytime.
Take it easy.
Anytime. It's Brian.
These are cool guys. These are like guys. Guys, I'm like, I want to be their friend.
Right? I mean, just what a... Dude, like, I kind of envy that, man. Fucking, I'm like hooked on my phone all fucking day and like, worried about all this bullshit. Like, he has a farm. He lives with a wife and kids and
sweetheart and three kids.
I don't know. Like, I don't know if I would last more than a week on that farm, to be honest.
I see this stuff and I'm like, man, that guy like figured out life. That's right? Either like an old soul or young, whatever the deal is, man. Like, that's like, that is like the answer to life, man, having that. He probably isn't filled with existential dread and neuroses all the time.
Yeah, it's the best, right? You've got a wife and three kids. They live on a farm. He teaches them value. I don't know if I'd be able to kill the animals, though, even to eat them. I would definitely, like, be like, okay, like, you could live. Like, it would just be...
I know, and particularly with the kids, because the kids are always going to, like, you have a little pig. Kids are going to love that.
Oh, it'd be a farm. I'd be a vegetarian. I'm the only guy, a farmer who's a vegetarian. Like, wouldn't be able to eat the, but
yeah.
Bill, what do you got coming up?
What do I got coming up? I'm trying to think of like anything interesting. Just in Austin this weekend, you know, at the Vulcan Friday and Saturday, then back into LA next week doing shows.
Nice. This Friday night, I'm at the Ha Ha Comedy Club, and Saturday, the Ha Ha Comedy Club. Next Thursday, the Long Beach Laugh Factory. And on Fight Week, International Fight Week, I will be at the Strat the whole week, Monday through Sunday. We're doing another UFC Comedy Jam that week too. So thank you guys so much. Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Rufian. Thank you, Bill. Take care, man.
You too. Bye-bye.